children's choirs only happens once a month or not every single month, so we're thankful for when they have it. They'll be also singing with our Christmas programs too, so looking forward to that and looking forward to all the hard work that's being put in from the adults, the teenagers, and the drama people and the children's choir. Looking forward to a great, great couple programs. Okay, so let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew, chapter number 15. Tonight's title of tonight's message is Jesus, Our Guide to Gratitude. Jesus, Our Guide to Gratitude. There was an older preacher that said one time that that Christ is not only the goal of our gratitude, but the guide of it as well. And tonight we're going to look at a list of things that Jesus was thankful for. And if Jesus, the Son of God, was thankful, I think we should be thankful also. And I think many times we're looking for different ways to be thankful and always remembering different ways. Sometimes people put out a list and they say, oh, it's good. I think a list is a good thing. I had watched an illustration about writing a thank you note and writing a thank you note to God. It was just kind of an interesting thing, and that could be page after page. But I would encourage you to put something to paper, and throughout this week, up in between now and Thursday, writing different things that you're thankful for. The list is really, you can't exhaust it. There's just so many things, but as you put it down on paper, you can be reminded of that. You can talk about physical blessings, spiritual blessings, just so many different things. But as I was looking through the word thank in the Bible program, trying to do a word study to ask the Lord what he wanted me to preach about, it was interesting that I came to this list of one who was thankful. And it's a list that can help us understand things that we should be thankful for. And that person was Jesus Christ. And over in the Bible, it talked about how he gave thanks to God. The gospel record provides insight on not only the prayer life of the Lord, but also his praise life. Imagine this. The man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, was constantly thanking his Father. So let's look here in the first example that's found in Matthew chapter 15 and in verse number 36. Matthew 15, verse number 36. The Bible says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes. Now, most of us would know what that story is right away. You know, that's the feeding of either the 4,000 or 5,000. And it says here, and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the opportunity to always look at you and always to understand what Jesus would teach us from in a certain time, in a certain period. We're coming across this thought of what we call Thanksgiving. And Lord, we should live a Thanksgiving-type life all year round, but as we take special attention to it this weekend, help us see the things that you gave thanks for, and help us to understand the guide that we can have for gratitude. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege of being a pastor and thankful for this church family. Lord, I pray that you speak to each person's heart. Thank you for how we were encouraged by the special music, and Lord, also just the fellowship beforehand, the opportunity to pray to you and the opportunity to give. Lord, please speak through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jesus is 33 and a half years. Not only did he spend time considering the joy that was set before him, there's a famous verse in Hebrews 12:2 that says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? We like to look forward to that day. We say we can put up with pretty much anything because we know there's a day coming. And that's what it's saying here about Jesus. It says that he was willing, who for the joy, talking about the finished work and the completed work and the finalizing the work that was, the joy that was set before him, being able to be in heaven for all eternity with his bride, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and set down before him. But there's something that Jesus, not only did he look to the future, he also recognized the joys that were around him. Not only did he look for the future and the idea that he knew the joy that was set before him, but he looked for the joys that were around him, and he was thankful for them. I don't know about you, I like to picture and imagine what Jesus was like a little bit. I think Jesus was a joyous man. He was God, he was man. I think he was someone that the hardest sinner was willing to come to speak to, but also the little child would come. And you can only imagine what type of man Jesus was while he was here, the perfect man, the perfect example. You wonder maybe some likes or dislikes. But one thing we see in the scripture, he had a grateful spirit. And a person who is grateful and a person who is thankful, really that is a beautiful part of that person's life. He showed appreciation to those who ministered to his physical needs and those who offered him worship. But true thanksgiving was reserved for the one who is worthy of it. Again and again, our Lord gave thanks to his Father, just as we should. So here's some things that Jesus was thankful for. The first thing is the Lord Jesus was thankful for food. I don't know about you, but I like me some food. So we think about Thanksgiving coming in, and I don't know, it seems like the world gets things backwards sometimes. I think the devil gets in the messes things up. Sort of like the day you're supposed to be more thankful for is the day that Black Friday's there and everybody seems like they're more greedy. It doesn't seem like it matches. Now, I like a good deal, and I'll even go shopping at the appropriate times. I'm not going to push anybody or trip anybody. Now, my wife might, but I'm not going to. It's not my wife. It's one of my sons that want the best deal. So, I'm not going to be greedy about it. But at the same time, you know, it's amazing how they take this holiday and they take a time that we're supposed to be thankful and grateful and feel blessed, and somehow we have to stuff ourselves with food, and then we have to go. We have to go spend all hours of the night out, try to get good deals. And once again, we're supposed to be wise stewards. But most people today, they get, I've been there, I've seen people get angry and get mad and not much thankfulness at all going on those days. And it's amazing how those days that are supposed to mean, sort of like Christmas, it's supposed to be about Jesus. And many times that's missed out by replacing it with things like Santa Claus or even replacing, you know, once again, it's nice to be around family and it's nice to be able to show appreciation through gifts, but we should not leave Jesus Christ out of Christmas. The devil's done really good at trying to get that, and most of the world has left him out. We should make sure we don't. Here, this idea of Thanksgiving, he gave thanks for food. And you say, that seems pretty simple. But I think we're supposed to be thankful for the simple things also. Maybe it's the point that he gave thanks for this food that was given to him. You know, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. It all comes from him. So everything we have, we should be thankful for. Remember, even in the model prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. I don't know how many of you would be lacking bread unless you're on a carb-free diet and you're not supposed to eat it. But, you know, most of us have something to eat at home. But he says in a model prayer that we should get so specific that if the things that seem like they're so common and so simple that most of us would have it without any issue, he says, I want you to realize that that comes from me too. Give us this day our daily bread. He's saying, I want you to pray that to God. Give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus here is not only when the master took the 7 loaves and the few little fishes, he fed 4,000. He gave thanks. When he broke 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he fed 5,000 and he gave thanks. Christ bowed his head at the Last Supper with the disciples and he gave thanks. He had eaten dinner with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And what does he do? He blesses the food. He continually gives thanks. And it's not just being thankful for the food we enjoy. I've heard at my house, when you heard my wife, a little snicker there. She sometimes tells me, and when she tries to make me eat peas, once again, it makes me feel like a cannibal. I don't want to eat any peas. She says I should be thankful for what I have. And I should be. But when she on purpose makes peas over and over, I think I should at least be able to question, where's the corn at? But it's not just the food that we enjoy. It's not just when things are going well. You picture this story here. I don't know what the disciples maybe were thinking. And it says in verse number 35, he said, and he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground. And I'm sure that the disciples are wondering, what in the world are you going to do? And then it says in verse 32, and he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks. They're thinking, what are you giving thanks for? There's hardly anything there. Reminds me of the stories of the orphanage that George Mueller had and how many times they didn't have food and how they would pray and give thanks for the provision that God had given them. And then God would miraculously provide food for them. So yes, it's easy to be thankful for the things for food, when it's the food you like and the food that you enjoy, but are you thankful for the peas? Now, I know many of you, I'm sure, love peas, but remember, peas are made to be loved, not eaten. But I'm sure many of you have food that you like, and you're thankful for that. But how about the times when there's not that much? How about those times when there is not the things you enjoy? Think about it. Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he gave thanks. Well, it's easy for him. He knows what. Don't you think God knows what he's going to do for you when it comes to provisions too? He's got it all planned out. He's got it all worked out. And we should be thankful for even the simple things. Jesus gave thanks. Think about it. The creator of all substance gave thanks for a simple provision. Well, he was doing it to make an example to show everybody else. That's what we're talking about. He's telling us. He's showing us. Let's be thankful for the simple things in life. When we sit down at the tables with our families, we should do the same. Everything on the table is a reminder of the one who made all things, but those things for us to enjoy and to be thankful for. Next thing, let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, another time when Jesus was thankful. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17 is where we're going to start at. I like this one because the Lord gave thanks that the Father revealed the truth to common people. The Lord Jesus gave thanks that the Father had revealed truth to common people. This is in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. He said, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that he gave truth to all of us. He made it to where we could understand it. The Bible says in Luke 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned. Jesus had sent them out two by two. It was a group of 70. And it says that they returned again with joy. They were excited. They were saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were pumped up. The devils even had to listen to them. They were able to do miracles. They were able to do other things while on this preaching tour. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. And these were sign gifts that happened back in the Bible time and when they were used in that apostle type time and the disciples back then, and before the completed of the word of God. But he says, look, don't get excited about that. He says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He says the thing that you can get most excited about, the thing you should rejoice the most about, is your name is written down in heaven. You're going to spend eternity with the Lord forever and ever. That's the thing that we can rejoice about. And that's something that no one can ever take away. Sometimes other things people can take away, but this is something that no one can take away. But he's teaching his disciples here. And can you imagine? He's teaching this to a group of probably rough fishermen and everyday workers, but he cannot contain his gratitude. Look what it says in verse 21. And that hour, the hour he's teaching them, telling them, hey, look, your name is written down in heaven. Hey, look, you have a heavenly home. You have an eternal home. It says, I thank thee. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Now, I'm not saying that a smart person can't go to heaven. Obviously, a smart person can go to heaven. Probably the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest minds of his time. You know, there was many people who were very, very intelligent that have received him, but those that would not accept him by faith, that would not come to him as a child, as in a childlike faith, these things were hidden from them. It was only those who were able and willing to believe them unto babes. And he says, that's revealed unto babes. He's saying, I'm thankful for this, that the revealed truth is to the common people. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Let's read that again. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I'm thankful that salvation is open to all. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the world. I'm thankful for that because I'm on my way to heaven. I know that based off what the Word of God says, and he's rejoicing. He's hearing the disciples, the 70, coming back, and they're pumped. Man, the devils had to listen to us, and Jesus says, don't worry. You're going to get to have this ability and this ability and this ability, but that's not what you should rejoice in. You should rejoice in the fact that your name is written down in heaven. And then he can't contain his thankfulness. He just thanks the Lord for the plan and the purpose that it's revealed, that it's open to any and to all. We can talk to anybody about who Jesus Christ is and their need for salvation. Think about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. But God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God have chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You're not going to get to it. You're not going to get to him because of your wisdom. You're not going to get to him because of your prudence. You're going to get to it because the Holy Spirit of God reveals unto you your need and your truth, and by faith you accept it and turn to God. The Lord gave that knowledge to common people like me and like you. And Jesus was thankful for that. How much more should we be thankful for that? You know, the food that was there, it's wonderful, but to have the knowledge and have the desire to want to believe and trust in him, he gave thanks for that revealed truth. Next thing I want you to think about, he gave thanks that his Father heard him and his prayers were answered. Go to John chapter number 11. In John chapter number 11, we have the story of the raising of Lazarus. And what a great story in the Bible. It teaches us so much. From when he waited for a little while so God would get glory, he taught Martha something that day, he taught Mary something that day, he taught the whole group something that day, and there were still people who watched him raise Lazarus from the dead that ran off and did not believe. They still chose not to believe and went and told the religious leaders what happened. It's amazing to me how much truth one person can see and experience and still reject it. But Jesus here, he gives thanks. Look what it says in John chapter number 11, verses 41 through 43. It says, then they took away the stone from the place, talking about Lazarus' tomb, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know about you, but one of the things I think as we're considering the things we should be thankful for and the things that Jesus is guiding us in our gratitude, we should be thankful for simple things like food and water and the shoes on our feet, like we heard the singing tonight, all those different things. And all we heard a whole plethora of things that we should be, that we've been blessed by. And then we consider the knowledge that we have, the things that have been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God, the truth, the revealed truth that is given to us. But now consider that God hears you. I don't know about you, but the fact that you can talk to God and he can hear it, he tells you to call upon him. He says he's going to answer you. You know, it's amazing. Jesus says it, and it's something that's very simple, and he says it, and he says, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And we can go and say, you know what? I'm thankful that God hears what I have to say. Not only does he hear what we have to say, he responds to what we have to say. And here in this story, it's kind of interesting. Jesus already had faith. The prayer had not been answered. The answer was not yet visible, but the prayer already had been answered. Jesus is teaching us not only, look, God hears our prayers, but God also answers our prayer. It's a lesson in faith. It's a faith and an attitude of gratitude that always works together. You say, Pastor, how did he know that Lazarus was going to come out of the tomb? He's God. Of course he knows. Well, how do I know I'm going to get my prayer answered? God answers your prayer every single time, just not always with a yes. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, sometimes you're just going to have to wait a little while. You know, it's amazing that we can remember this, and we should be thankful for this. God hears us. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't always hear what somebody says to me. Now, some people will say that's selective hearing, but I don't think sometimes, I don't never remember you saying that. Sometimes you have to yell at certain people, guess get them to hear you because you got to speak up. But I'm thankful you don't have to raise your voice to God. He hears even our thoughts. And even when you read the verses there, when Jesus was in the verse earlier, it says that he said it in his spirit. He was saying, thank you, Father. You revealed this truth to them. The faith is an attitude that will produce gratitude. We should never take for granted that God hears and answers our prayers. We should say, I'm thankful, God, that you hear me and that you're going to answer my prayers, because it is one of the greatest blessings of our Christian life. Stand at your need, stand in the place of broken hearts, and rejoice that God hears you. Stand there and realize and knows that whether it's a broken heart or whether it is need or a place of rejoicing, God hears and answers your prayers. Next thing, and as the Lord Jesus gave thanks for the provision of God in the midst of suffering. So let's go ahead and go also here to Luke. I have to figure out the chapter because of the fact that I did not write it down. It's going to be where the Lord's Supper is at in Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Miss Carol says a 7, so I know that. I'm looking for it there, and once again, you might have, actually, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I know it's there, because we're going to be there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Sorry about that. I was going to look at the gospel accounts, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes what is taught him, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And it shows that that night, when he gave and instituted the Lord's Supper, that he gave thanks. Imagine this, he's going to be on the cross in a few hours. His enemies are plotting his death. Gethsemane and Golgotha just lay right ahead. But he took bread and a cup and gave thanks. This is more than just thanks for the food or the drink. It's for what the bread represents, his body that is to be broken. It's for what the cup represents, his blood that is to be shed. He's saying thanks on that night? Well, it teaches us what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Here in Luke chapter number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse number 23. He says, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given, in verse number 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now picture, once again, this is the night. He's just a few hours away. He is just a few hours away from the cross. He's getting ready to go to Gethsemane, Golgotha, you know, to face something that no man has ever faced. He says, other people, yeah, but the sins of the world was placed on him. And it said that he gave thanks. He took time to say thank you. And he said, why in the world? Because he believed in God's finished plan. He knew that God was going to take what was happening and he was going to turn it all out for good. It was going to be something in the end that was going to offer salvation to those who would believe. He said, well, how can I give thanks to the trials? How can I give thanks to the hardship? Remember what we learned this morning, that God is God and God is good, and not always is everything good, but God is always good. And if we would get that and understand that, you know, he is there, he is facing, he's not worried about what's going to happen. He does go pray his high priestly prayer that we see in John chapter 17. He does all those things. But you see what he's doing from this moment all the way to the garden? He's teaching them. He's trying to show them things. He is teaching them all the things, because after he dies on the cross, everything's different. They're going to look at him differently. Everything has been set in motion. And here he stops and he's saying, I want them to remember this. I'm getting ready to show them that this represents my body and this represents my blood, and I want them to remember this. I want to take time to give thanks because I know what's going to happen. But I'm willing to do it because God's asked me to do it. It's the Father's will. He gave thanks when he only had a little bit of fish and bread. He gave thanks because of the revealed truth that was given to man, even though some rejected. He gave thanks the night before he was going to be crucified because he knew that God had it all worked out. So how can we give thanks in the trials? How can we give thanks in the hardships? How can we give thanks when things seem overwhelming and that we feel depleted and we're frustrated to no end? It's because we have faith that God can work the miracle. You know, he taught a very powerful lesson. And we look at Luke 17 different times on Thanksgiving Day about those 10 lepers, how only one came back as the Samaritan came back and worshiped and thanked God. He taught a very powerful lesson that day. But what we learn tonight is he not just taught that lesson. He lived that lesson. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And he continued to give thanks and continued to give thanks. And we like to teach that lesson. You should be thankful. We love telling that to kids. Make sure you say thank you. But the question is, are we thankful? It's not just teaching the lesson. Jesus is a master teacher. I don't think any of us will forget about that Samaritan coming back and him giving thanks. And he says, where are the nine? What a powerful story. But when you think of the creator of the universe taking time to say thank you for some loaves and some fishes, how much more should we worship and praise him and thank him for everything we have, even the simple things? We live in this life and this world that seems like it's money hungry and people are unthankful and live with an attitude of ingratitude. Jesus teaches us something different. He gives us a guide to what we should be thankful for. The simple things. Revealed truth. That God hears and God answers their prayers. And that God will make the provision. What's the provision? It was his body. It was his blood. He will make the provision for our times of suffering. His grace will always be sufficient. Why is that? Because he's God and because he's good. So when we remember those things, we will have an attitude of gratitude. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight. Once again, we are good at saying,